So we are holding on Samach Omer Aleph, about just a bit past the middle of the Omer, line of Kama Bakama. We learned in the Mishnah that when Edom come about somebody with Megadif, that somebody cursed, blasphemed the Eibishter. So we said throughout the trial they use a euphemism, Yaka Yosi Es Yosi, not a euphemism, a substitute, Yaka Yosi Es Yosi, rather than every time throughout the course of the trial having to mention the actual names of Hashem that the guy cursed with. But eventually, for Gemar Din, they need to actually say their exact name, because they can't convict him on the basis of saying Yaka Yosi Es Yosi. So therefore we said, so they send everybody out, the Dayanim stand up, and they tell the Edim, tell us exactly what you heard, and the first aid says, and they whip Kriya. The Jayonim rip Kriya.
As soon as
he says it, yeah. So,
because
they're saying it as part of the Eder, they have to. So the question, so yesterday we discussed, the last thing we discussed is why the Dayanim stand up. We said out of respect for Hashem, Madoch Egloin, the wicked king of Moab, stood up in honor of Hashem, how much more, and it was only for the name of the king, how much more so that a Jew has to stand up for the name Havayim. Okay, so now we're up to the next thing, Kurin Manolo. How do we know that you have to rip Kriya when you hear such a thing, when you hear somebody blaspheming the Emishtah? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk, it describes how when Sancheiriv is attacking Yerushalayim and trying to conquer it, he sends one of his top people, Rav Shekei, who the Gemara is going to explain soon, actually was a Yisrael Mummer. He wasn't a goy, he was actually an apostate Yid. And this Rav Shekei comes over there with a whole long speech saying basically, give up, surrender. My master Sancheiriv is too powerful for you. He was able to conquer all the other nations. None of their gods were able to save them. You're no better than any of them.
Can you say that he was a shliach of the Eibishter? I mean, after all,
every person is a shliach of the Eibishter in some way. But the point is that he was a Yisrael Mummer. That's going to be important in halacha, as we're going to see soon. But the point is, anyway. So he's giving this whole long thing and saying that the Eibishter is Rahman al-Flan, is Chas v'Shalom, no stronger than any of the gods of the other nations. They couldn't save their nation. Your God is not going to save yours either. And the Pasuk says, all these officials of Chizkiyahu came, El Chizkiyahu, Kruei Begodim, they had their clothes ripped. Shevna Sefer, we learned earlier in the Sefer, was one of the bad guys, but still, at the time, maybe he was still a good guy, or Tosfos elsewhere discusses the possibility there might have been two Shevnas. Anyway, whatever it is, they all came, El Chizkiyahu, Kruei Begodim, they all came to Chizkiyahu with their clothes ripped, by Agidulayas Divrei Rav Shekei, and they informed him of what Rav Shekei had said. Now, why are they ripping their clothes? It must be because of the blasphemy that they heard from Rav Shekei, that he's speaking like that about the Emishtah. And we say Loima Achin. We say that once they rip these clothes, the Dayonim, they're never allowed to completely sew it back up to make it completely sew it up. All they can do is baste it. Menolon, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbo, after Kriya Kriya. We make Xera Shava between two cases where the Pasuk says that Kriya was done. Here it says, we just said that Chizkiyahu's officials ripped their clothes for what they heard from Rashi. Okay? No, Kruya, yes. They ripped their clothes. And you have a different pasuk also in Malachim, where Elisha Roya, Elisha saw as Eliyahu was being taken up to Shemayim in the fiery chariot over there. And he was screaming out, Ovi, Ovi, my father, meaning my Rebbe, Ruch of Yisrael of Parashah, the chariot of the Jewish people. He was screaming, he was screaming just in sorrow, in pain, that his Rebbe has been taken away from him. Ovi, Ovi, Ruch of Yisrael of Parashah, the chariot of the Jewish people and its horsemen, meaning that you're better for the Jewish people. You save, you protect the Jewish people. You, meaning Eliyahu, have protected the Jewish people with your chosim, like chariots and horsemen protect an army. So, and the positive thing is, he never saw Eliyahu again. But yet, he took a hold of his clothes, and he ripped them into two shreds, into two pieces. So the question is, given that the Pasuk says that he ripped them into two, Elisha is yelling out, and then he ripped his clothes. He ripped his clothes about Eliyahu, and he's ripping his clothes for Kriya, because as far to him, Eliyahu is dead at this point. Yes, of course, Eliyahu is still alive, and he comes back to earth, but Elisha never saw him again.
Why he screams?
He's screaming. That
Eliyahu is screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, what?
He's screaming in pain that my Rebbe is being taken away from him. What do you want from him?
Scream to the Eibishter.
So he's screaming to the Eibishter, fine. He's screaming about my Rebbe, how that you're being taken away from me. No, of course, it's not okay. Anyway, the point is, right, the point is, once it says that he, once it says he picked up, once it says he ripped his clothes in two, by Kroyim L'Shnayim, any Yodei Hashem Kroyim, automatically that means that it's two pieces, ripped in two implies in two pieces. Or Ma Tamad Lama Kroyim, so why does it spell out that he, why does it spell out that he ripped them into Kroyim, which implies Kroyim, ripped pieces? It means Malama Shem Kroyim La'olam. It teaches us that they had to remain ripped forever, that he could never sew it up completely. So therefore, we make a Gzeira Shava from that to our story over here with Rav Shake, that by the same logic, when they ripped their clothes, after hearing this Giduf from Rav Shake, they were never allowed to completely sew it up again. And that's how it is when you rip Kriya for a parent or a Rebbe.
There was no Giduf over there with the...
We're making a Gzeira Shava. You have different cases where you make Kriya. One case where you do Kriya is where your Rebbe or where your Rebbe or
taken
your parent
away.
Passes away. And another one is Giduf. So we're making, we're saying that the two of them are comparable.
How are they comparable?
Because by both of them it says the word no. Kroy. So by both of them it says that they ripped. So therefore, so that's what it is.
It's about the two words being the same.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Okay. Turn it up on. Echad Hashemea, whether somebody directly hears the Giduf from the person who said it, the Echad Hashemea Mepi Shemea, or you hear it secondhand, like here the Dayanim are hearing it secondhand from the Edim, either way Chayav L'Kroya, either way you're obligated to tear Kriya on it. Well, Edim ain't chayav in the kroya. Now, the Edim, when they're repeating it in Beis Din, they're not obligated to rip shakra kora b'shal shashavu, because they already ripped their clothes when they first heard it from the guy. Well, the question is, why?
Why do we hear it the first time?
Well, the question is, why, of course, v'chik kora b'shal shashavu my habi? So what if they ripped at the time when they first heard it? Hokashami hashta, but they hear it now again. They hear it from their own lips again. Maybe they should have to rip a new kriya on it. The answer is loy sakadai. You shouldn't think that way. Dichtiv, because the pasuk continues over there by Chizkiyahu and his ministers and Rav Shake. It says by Yikishmaya Melech Chizkiyahu and Chizkiyahu heard as Dibre Rav Shake by Yikras Gadav. By Yikras Gadav, then he ripped his clothes, implying Chizkiyahu Kara Behem Lekaru. Chizkiyahu ripped his clothes at that point. They did not rip their clothes again because they already heard it the first time from Rav Shake. They're just repeating it. Therefore, there's no need to. And then from that, we learn that they don't need to rip again. Tosfos asks the question: why are they telling the king explicitly the fact that Rav Shake used the name of Hashem and blasphemed him? The doch, it's not Gemar Din on the face of it. They could have said like Yaki Yosi Yosi Yosi. They could have said that Rav Shake came announcing and saying that Yosi is no stronger than the gods of the other nations, and then nobody has to. Then Chizkiya doesn't have to care Kriya. Why are they saying to him that they say yeah? So Tosfos leaves it as a question. A number of Rishonim and Achronim, the Ma'arik, for example, talks about it, and the Kesef Mishnah brings it on Rambam. The Ma'arik was one of the early Achronim, Rabbi Yosef Kolan. He was one of the important Rabbonim in Italy in the 1400s. He wrote a sefer of Trovus, of Shiloh to Trovus, that's very, very... he's Italian, I don't know. His ancestors were Sephardim, I think. I don't remember. Whatever. Anyway, he wrote a sefer of Shiloh Satrovus, and he deals with this question. The Kesef Mishnah brings this on Hilchos Avodah Zarah on the Rambam. He says that maybe what it was is that they're actually getting together as a Beis Din in order to judge Rav Shake. Remember, the Gemara is going to say soon that Rav Shake was the Yisrael Mumer. Fine, he's not there right now, but if they should ever get a hold of him, they'll be able to judge him on the basis of what they're judging now, and therefore they need to repeat over exactly. So different Achronim talk about it. I mean, how is that?
They can't bring the Edim again.
No, they themselves are Edim. So they ask the question. Achronim asked the question on that. How does that work? I mean, Rav Shake himself is not there at the time. The Aruch Oner asks, Rav Shake isn't there at the time. How is there even a Haba minute to judge him? So one possibility is, again, maybe a Megadif is similar to a Mesis in that regard. Maybe you make an exception. Maybe you don't need to judge him to his face. Maybe, unlike usually when you judge somebody in Beis Din, maybe you can judge him in absentia. But they talk about other possibilities also. I mean, the fact is, Rav Shake never used the words Yaka Yosi 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 anyway. He was saying the Hevishter is no more powerful than the nation, than the gods of the other nations or whatever. So it's just some garden variety blasphemy. It's not the technical thing of Megadif that we learned the other day that requires shame to say. So maybe therefore he'd be positive. But the point is, therefore they can tell it over to Chizkiyahu because actually it's not a case of a Din Torah right now. It's not a technical case of Megadif, so therefore they can tell him what they can tell him exactly what they do. Okay.
What happened to Rav
Shake? In the end, Sacher was whole army was wiped out. I guess Rav Shake was among them. I don't know. We don't hear from him after that. Okay, onward. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. If somebody hears a name of Hashem, of a blasphemy from a goy, then you're not obligated to rip Kriya. Why not? So, we'll see in a second. Vim time of Rav Shekei Yisrael. Vim time of Rav Shekei. So you're going to say, what about the case of Rav Shekei? The answer is Yisrael Mumer. He wasn't a Goy, he was a Yisrael Mumer. And therefore, that's it. Now, the Gemara doesn't say, by the way, where we know that Rav Shekei was a Yisrael Mumer. Apparently, they had it to Kabbalah. But the fact is, you do also see in his speech over there, one of the big points he makes is, you think you should trust in your God? You think you should trust in the Eivishter? Chizkiyahu, look at this. Up until now, you were able to bring Kovonis wherever you want, because people were doing it illegally. Chizkiyahu took all that away and centralized things and said, you have to come to the Beis Mikdash. Obviously, Hashem can't possibly be happy with that. So how does Rav Shekei, if he was a Goy, how would he come to know such a thing? Must be that's a logical reason to say he was Yisrael Mumer, so he kind of knows what's going on in Eretz Yehuda over there, and he knows it. Okay. Fine.
I was asking the other day, how can the
Goyim
know the
Dinim
of Kilayim? I mean, it's
so you have to teach them, but in this case, nobody taught Rav Shekei with Yisrael Mumer. But Amar of Yehuda Amashmul, in Kurin Elal Shem Am Yochman. Furthermore, Rav Yehuda Amashmul says, you only whip Kriya if you hear blasphemy of the Shem Am Yochman, the name Yudke Vavke, or according to the Rambam Adnai, maybe, also La Puki Kinui Deloy, as opposed to a Kinui, as opposed to any of the other names of Hashem, or for example, if a Goy curses, where he doesn't necessarily use the name Yudke Vavke, he uses God, or whatever the equivalent is, whatever the equivalent word in other languages, are also considered Kinui. Deloy, but then not. And the Gemara points out, both of these statements of Shmuel argue against what Rav Chiya says. The Amr Rav Chiya, number one, Hashemeya Askara Bizman Azein Chayev Ukraya, because Rav Chiya says that if somebody hears an Askara, somebody hears blasphemy nowadays, meaning when there's no Beis Din that does Din Nefashis, when we're in Golos, nobody's afraid of Beis Din anymore, then you're not chayev to whip kriya. And he says, because we wouldn't say like that, if you would say you're obligated to whip kriya every time you hear that, nismale kol abeged kriya, and your whole clothes would be full of tears. So we have to ask, miman, what do you mean? Who do we think that nowadays we might hear blasphemy from that you'd have to be tearing kriya all the time? Ilema Yisrael, are you going to say that kriya is saying that if you hear it from a yid, that what do you mean, mipkiri kol ahai? Even when there's no Beis Din that's makin v'onshin, would Jewish people be so chutzpahdik as to go and curse the Eivishter all the time? Elap shittim o'evit kachavim. Obviously, kriya must be talking about if you hear it from a goy. Shem Am Yochad. Now, if you're going to say that we're talking about that they're cursing the Shem Am Yochad, the name Yudke Vavke, Mi Gemiri, the Goyim aren't familiar with that name. The Pashtus, they use their local words for Hashem. El Olav the Kinui. Obviously, they must be using a Kinui, like the word God or whatever. Ushmamino Bizman Azehu Deloy. Evidently, then, Rav Chiya is saying, therefore, nowadays, we're not going to obligate you to grip Kriya if you hear from a Goy and if you hear a Kinui. Bizman Azehu Deloy. Only nowadays do you not have to grip Kriya. Ha'm Ikra, but originally when the Sanhedrin was sitting in the Lushkas HaGazis and when they had Bat Dinim all over Eretz Yisrael, who could enforce the law, Chayev, then Rav Chiya seems to be saying you'd be Chayev. Shmamina, so that proves that Rav Chiya disagrees with both statements of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
Which is
Rav Yehuda had said, Rav Shmuel had said that number one, you only rip for the Shem Am Yochad, so not if you hear somebody cursing using the name God, only if you hear somebody cursing the name Yudke Vodke or Adnai. And second of all, that only a Yid, not a Goy. The Rambam actually splits the difference. The Rambam paskins like Shmuel as far as the Goy. If you hear it from a Goy, you don't have to rip Kriya. But on the other hand, he paskins that even if you hear it with a Kinui, even if you hear somebody using a name, it's dead. That if you hear a Jew using some other name other than that, you still have to rip Kriya.
What's the Shem Am Yochad?
The Shem Am Yochad means you give up it.
Just pronounced the correct way.
No, not pronounced. Pashtus, of course, pronounces it with any decodus, but whatever. The point is not just a person saying it, but a person cursing it, a person blaspheming.
What's the difference in Shem Yochad, Shem Am Yochad, and Shem Am Purush?
So Shem Am Yochad means a name unique to Hashem, meaning as opposed to, for example, the name Elikim has a broader connotation. The word Adnai has a broader connotation, and so forth. The name Yudke Vavke is unique to Hashem. It's called Shem Am Yochad.
Shem
Am Furash, we talked about yesterday. Sometimes Shem Am Furash means the name of 42 letters. Sometimes it also means the name of 4 letters.
I heard that the Shem Am Furash is Yud Kevavke, but with a long, set of characters in between the Yud, the K, and the K.
Possible. I don't know. But over here, we're talking about Yud Kevavke, and according to the Rambam Adnai as well. Okay. So that's that. The Yerushalmi tells us a story about it, that one time the Shlokish is riding along and he hears a goy is walking nearby him and keeps on cursing the Eivishter. And every time he does, the Shlokish rips Kriya, because he held like Rav Chiya, apparently, that if you hear it from a goy, you have to rip. Until finally, and the guy keeps on doing it, until finally the Shlokish gets tired of it and goes and gets down off his donkey and gives the guy a punch in the stomach and says, "What do you think, your mother is going to be able to sew me a whole new outfit over here that from all these clothes that I'm ripping because of you? Cut it out." Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hasheni Yema Afani Kamayu, we said the second aid does not repeat the actual words of the blasphemy, not Yake, Yudke, Vovke, S, whatever. Rather, he just says, Afani Kamayu, I also heard the same thing. Now, Omer Shlokish, Shema Mina, so we see from that, Afani Kamayu Kosher, Bedini Mamanis, so Bedini Nefashis. We see from that that on a Daraisa level, it would be enough if the second aid, instead of being interrogated and saying in detail what he saw or heard, it would be enough in Dini Mamanis and in Dini Nefashis for him to just say, I heard the same thing, or I saw the same thing. Or Milo, who the Ovid Rabbanan, and it's just that the Chachamim made a more stringent thing that in general, when it comes to Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashis, that each aid has to spell out what exactly they saw or what exactly they heard. V'hochol, and over here, Kivin Delay Efshir, because since it's not possible, because you don't want to have each aid, for the covet of the Eivishter, you don't want to have that each aid should have to repeat it. Ikmur Rabbanan Adaraisa, then the Rabbanan left it according to the Din Daraisa. Rish Lakish says you have to say it that way, the Sakhdadach apostle, because if you're going to say that on a Daraisa level, it would be possible that each aid has to spell out exactly what he heard. What are you going to say over here? Because it's not possible, therefore we should execute the guy on the basis of Aedrus that wouldn't be kosher Daraisa. Obviously, it must be that.
I confirm that he said the same thing.
But that's the thing. That's the proof. It must be that Daraisa, that's the kind of thing, is valid. If you were to say that Daraisa, each aid has to say exactly what he saw or exactly what he heard, and if he didn't, then it would be possible, then over here, how can the Rabbanon change that and say that we can let him get away with saying Afani Kamaru?
So it shows
that Midaraisa, it's enough to say Afani Kamaru, and in this case, the Chachamim left that well enough alone because of the Talmud of the Eivishter. Usually, the rule is the aid has to actually spell out in detail what he saw. This is a special case. But it is, Daraisa would work anywhere. We said in the mission about Shlishi Yom Afani Kamayu that if there's a third aid, he says, I also heard the same thing. So the Gemara points out, Stomach Rabbi Akiva, that means we have here a Stam Mishnah in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Demakish Gimel L'Shnayim, who says that since the Pasuk says, Alpi Shnayim Edim or Alpi Shloisha Edim, he says three are similar to two in the sense that if you were to have three Edim come to testify on something, and it turns out one of them is a Kara of Apostle, then the whole Edus is bottle, as opposed to the Chachamim over there say not necessarily, Tiskayim or Edus Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says the whole Edus is bottle. So therefore, over here, the third one must be able to say, Afani Kamayhu, and if you can't say that, then it means the Edus is going to be bottle. We would just say once the first aid said the exact thing, and the second one, right, the halacha is like a chachamim. Okay. Actually, the Gemara explains over there in Marcus that it depends on the difference between dinim mominus and dinim nefashis in that regard. Okay,
what's the difference?
The difference is by dinim mominus, as long as you have two kosher aidim, then you're good. By dinim nefashis, you have to have all of them have to be kosher. We'll get to it. We'll get to it in Marcus, says Hashem. Okay. Fine. Now we're on to the next thing in the Mishnah earlier in our Perek had listed the 18 Chayiv Skilas, the 18 people that are Chayiv Skila. We went through the details of a number of them already. Now we're going to go to the next one. Ha'ovid Avedis Chachavim. We said in the Mishnah over there, somebody who worships Avod Zara. So let's get into the details. Echad Ovid, whether somebody worships it, which we'll see in the Gemara what that means. The Echadam is a Beach, or whether he sacrifices, he shech, an animal or a bird for the Avodah Zarah, ve'achadam a kater, or whether he burns something in its honor, ve'achadam a nasich, or he pours out a liquid, like wine, like water or whatever, water or wine, what have you, ve'achadam a shtachva, or someone bows down to it, ve'achadam a kabla olav leleka, or whether he accepts it as his god, ve'ha'omer like keliata, or he says to it, you are my god. So what's the difference between those last two things? I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah.
The other one is doing.
No. Well, the other one they're doing is
the Ovid.
He was saying, I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah, I'm a kabbalah. So Rashi says,
that's not doing anything.
Nevertheless, Rashi says, because we have, since we have a posit by the Eagle where it says, Vayishtachvalei, Vayizbachvalei, Vayyobru, Eila, Elekecha Yisrael, then we see that all those things are comparable. Just like Yishtachava and Zvicha, Al-Chayiv Misa, so is saying Eila, Elekecha. These are, this is my God. So what's the difference between the words Hamakabla Olav Lelakah, which means he accepted on him as a god, versus Va'omilekeliyaster, or he says, you are my god? What's the difference between those? So Rashi said, Rashi's first explanation is it means it's the same thing. It means Hamakabla Olav Lelakah, namely, the definition of that is Va'omilekeliyaster. Then Rashi's second explanation is there are two different things. One is talking about Hamakabla Lelakah. So according to that, maybe there's not supposed to be a vowel there. Hamakabla Olav Lelakah, namely Ha'omalekeliyasa. And maybe according to that Gersa, you wouldn't have the vav. The second explanation Rashi says is it means there's two possibilities. Hamakabla Lelakah means we're not talking in front of the idol. He's standing someplace else and saying, I accept Pliny as my idol, as my god. Outside of its presence. The other one is he's standing in front of the idol and saying, I accept you as my god. You are my god. So it's both of those. The Yad Ramah gives yet another possibility that one is, for example, the person says, I'm going to devote myself to this god, let's say. So it's an actual statement of, it's not just saying, you're my god, which, okay, that could be something a person might toss off as an offhand statement or whatever he's actually saying. But on the other hand, he's not saying right now, I will devote myself to it. As opposed to, then you could have the case where a person says, you are my god, where on the one hand, it's a very casual statement, but on the other hand, saying, are, it's a done deal. Therefore, the Mishnah has to mention both of them. Okay, anyway. Aval Hamagafish, but if somebody hugs the Avodah Zarah, and here we're talking about, now in the Gemara we're going to talk about the concept that you have those different kinds of Avodah Zarahs where their priests and whatever came up with different ways of worshipping them. Each Avodah Zarah had its own unique way of worshipping it, and then you have four things that we mentioned in our Mishnah, Mizabeach, Mekater, Menaseh, Mishtachveh, that apply across the board to any Avodah Zarah. So let's say, for example, so if you have an Avodah Zarah where the normal way of worshipping it is to hug it, sure, that's considered Ha'ovid, then the guy's Chayav Mitzvah. Here we're talking about where it's not. The normal way of worshipping it is something else, bring a carbon to it, or go in the bathroom in front of it, or throwing stones at it, or whatever, as we're going to learn later on. But this particular person decides to hug the statue. Well, right. V'ham Nashik, or he kisses it. V'ham Chabed, or he sweeps the floor in front of it. V'ham Rabbit, or he sprinkles water to lay down the dust. V'ham Rachet, or he bathes the statue. V'hasach, or he anoints it with oil. V'ham Malbish, or he puts clothes on it. V'ham Manil, or he puts shoes on it. All those things over the loisetzer. It's osir. He's over on a loisetzer of that it says in that says that there was loisah of them.
And that's enough.
But he's not chayav mitzvah. He's not even, as we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, he's not even chayav malchus for those things.
Why is that?
Because we'll learn later on Samach Yimel that it's a lav shavah klavos. It's one lav that includes many different actions, and therefore you can't be chayav malchus for such a thing. Continues the Mishnah. Hanodu b'shmoi, if somebody makes a neder in the name of the Avodah Zarah, and Rashi gives an example, let's say somebody says, as we learned back in the Dorim, let's say somebody says, all Paris in the world will be forbidden to me. I'm swearing in the name of this Avodah Zarah that all Paris in the world will be also to me if, for example, if I bathe. It's interesting, the Maharam asks, why does Rashi have to add the detail, if I bathe? Just say that he's swearing in the name of the Avodah Zarah. No. So the Binyan Shlomo answers on that. He says, because it still has to be the format of a neder that if it was done in the name of Hashem would be a valid neder. Just saying, kol peres shabar olam yaltzer alai is not a valid neder because you have to be makbis, you have to make it depend on something. So therefore, you need the im erchat in order to make it work as a neder to Hashem, and therefore that's the only case. Therefore, that's the case that Rashi's talking about here in connection with Avodah Zarah.
I mean, it's conditional.
Fine, but nevertheless, he's doing it in the name of an idol, and therefore saying that's also
conditional.
Yeah. Bamakayim b'shmoy, or somebody says a shvua in the name of an idol. Those also over beloisetzer. Those he's over on a loisetzer, and those we're going to see later on. You can be chayav malchus for. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody opens up his rear in front of Baal Peor, Rashi says it actually means going to the bathroom in front of it. The Yad Ramah says maybe not necessarily. It just means like he uncovers himself and prepares himself, like getting ready to go, whatever. Zuhi Avidah, so that's the normal way of worshipping Baal Peor, and therefore I mean, even if he's doing it thinking I'm gonna do it as a bizoyan to the Avodah Zarah, nevertheless he's gonna be chayav on it. Rashi actually uses the expression.
Really?
So Rashi uses the expression we chayav misa. So the question is, how is he gonna be chayav misa if he didn't know it's author? So one interesting thing, the Tosfos Yom Tov talks about, we're talking about, let's say there were Edim here warning him, you should know this particular idol, the normal way of worshipping it is Torah Atma. If you do this, you are gonna be chayav misa.
Even if you
and the guy Yeah, and no, if you do poryasmo.
No, no,
right,
but
yeah.
If you intend differently.
No, no, right. So, and the guy answers and says, I'm doing it anyway because I'm intending it for bizoyan of avodah zarah. Doesn't matter,
yeah,
we can still be chayav mitzvah. As opposed to, because he's still doing the actual action. He heard what they said. Yeah.
No.
I don't care. You're telling me I'm going to be chayav mitzvah. Fine. You can tell me I'm chayav mitzvah. I believe that it should be allowed because I'm doing it to be mevazeh the avodah zarah. Fine. Okay. There can also be.
It's
not
really avodah zarah.
Yeah, but it is because he's still doing it in the normal way that it's worshipped. And you can also have. Right. You can also have if he didn't know. And if he didn't know, then I'll be chayav chayav.
If he didn't know,
then I'll be chayav chayav. Okay.
Yeah,
No, but he has to know that this this action is authored, doesn't it? Okay. Hazorik Evan Lemerkel.
They think he was lying.
Maybe. Okay. Hazorik Evan Lemerkel. Similarly, if somebody throws a stone at Merkel, it's hello. Zuhi Avedosa, that is the normal way of worshipping it. Again, same idea. The normal way of worshipping Merkel was by throwing stones at it. What do we mean? The Mishnah started off by saying whether somebody worships the Avodah Zarah, and then it mentioned four specific kinds of worship. Mizabeach, shechting something, Mekater, burning something, Menasech, pouring something, and Meshtachve, bowing. So what is Oved? No, then why did it? But then why did it have to mention it? Then it should just say those four. It means like this. Whether a person worships an avodah zarah in the normal way that it is done, for example, whether it's derech bizoyin or not, this is the particular ritual that the priest of that avodah zarah established as the normal way of worshiping that avodah zarah, and another point is if somebody does any of those four avodas that are specifically laid out in the Mishnah, v'afilu shalei kedarka, even if those are not the normal way of worshipping a particular avodah zarah. So let's say pa'ur, for example. The normal way of worshipping pa'ur is to go to the bathroom in front of it. The normal way is not, let's say, to shech the korban in front of it. So a person were to go to the bathroom in front of it, he's chayav because that's derech avodas, it's called kedarka. A person were to shech the korban in front of it, he would also be chayav, even though that's not the normal way of worshipping it, because those four avodas apply across the board to all avodah zarahs.
I would have deduced this from a previous case where, since he didn't have intent, and he said he didn't have intent, then for sure, and he was chayav misa, if he does it differently, he's also chayav misa.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have known. We would have thought, whatever the particular way of worshipping a particular avodah zarah is, you're chayav for that. We're going to see. We're going to see that the Mizabeach and the rest of them, we're going to learn from Sokim. We're going to see.
Anyway?
Yes, that's what we're saying. Any other disorder in the world, even if the normal way, even if none of the people who worship it ever bring korbanos to it, and one person goes and brings a korban to it, he's going to be chayav. Bringing korbanos is one of the four avodas that applies across the board. A person is chayav, whatever avodah zarah it was, whether it's the normal way or not.
Does he have to designate his korban to this avodah zarah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you can mentally say.
No, we're talking he designated. Okay. Alright. So those vafilah shalai kedavka, even if those are not the normal way of worshipping a particular avodah zarah, nevertheless you chayav for any of those four. Okay, so the question is, v'lechshav nami zorik, why doesn't we're going to say soon, the Gemara is going to explain soon, that basically what we learn is, anything that is normally done in the Beis Hamikdash as an avodah to the Eivishter is not allowed to be done for avodah zarah, l'havdil. So the question is, in that case, you have another avodah that's done in the Beis Hamikdash. You have sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. Why don't we count that also? Rashi points out, by the way, that the Gemara could have also asked about makabel, about receiving the blood in a basin, and moilich, and walking it over to the mizbeach. Rashi says, because you never find those mentioned in connection with avodah zarah. You never find any pasuk that mentions anybody doing those for avodah zarah. Whereas, walking it over or whatever. Whereas zodik, you do find. You find a pasuk, and then you find sukkim in this week's parasha. You find in this week's parasha in Hazinu that mentioned burning, asher chelav zvachemi yechelu, that they, the avodah zarah, supposedly eat the fat of their korbanos that's burned to them. Yishtu yein nesichem, they drink the wine that's poured out to them. So we see nisuch, and you have zvika is also mentioned elsewhere. Meforshim discussed the question, by the way, does that mean so if a person does that mean if a person were to do kabbalah or halacha, having in mind an avodah zarah, would he be chayev? Is Rashi implying he would be chayev? We just don't find any such positive. Or does Rashi mean those are completely excluded because those are not similar? Because those are not similar to the avodahs that we're going to discuss soon. Okay. Anyway, so the question. I'm not sure. But I'm going to buy a zora kind of manasseh. Abaye answers, because Zoreh, sprinkling blood, is included in Menasech, is included in pouring liquid. When the Mishnah said Nisuch, it includes all. Menasech means pouring, like pouring wine or whatever. So it can also mean, therefore, pouring blood, sprinkling blood. Dichtiv, as you have a pasuk in Tehillim, Bal Asich Niskeya Midam, that we will not be like a goyim, who I will not pour any of their libations of blood. So a libation of blood means to take blood and sprinkle it on an altar or whatever. So Zorek usually means that you're throwing it, like they did by the Korbanos in the Bismuth. They're throwing it, dashing it against the point is, the term Menasech in our Mishnah includes Zorek as well. Now, Menahani Mili. So where do we know this whole concept that the four Avodas, Mezabeach, Mekata, Menasech, Mishtachva, how do we know that those apply across the board, that a person is chayav for them no matter which Avodah Zarah it was, even if it's Shalei Kedavra? The Tanan Abba, we learn it in Brisa. You have a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim that says, Zeveach lo Elikim Yochram, anybody who sacrifices a korban to Elikim, meaning to idols, Yochram will be destroyed, meaning killed, Bilti Lashem Levadai, except Hashem alone. So Ilu Nem, now why does it have to say Loyal Kim? Ilu Nem is a Zeveach Yochram, if the pasuk had only said somebody who sacrifices will be killed, we wouldn't know that it's talking about sacrificing a korban to an avodah zarah. You would think maybe the pasuk is talking about a person takes kodshim and shechts them outside the Beit Mikdash. Maybe the pasuk is saying he has to be put to death, he's chayav mitzvah for it. Now, we have elsewhere in Parshas Achrimos, the Torah tells us a person's chayav koris for it. The Gemara is going to ask later on why we'd have a Havah minute to think that the pasuk is telling us this is based in. But for the moment, let's take it as written. So therefore, Talmud Lema Loyal Kim. Therefore, the pasuk has to specify the word Loyal Kim. Meaning the pasuk is talking about that the pasuk is talking specifically a person who is sacrificing, who's shechting korban for an avodah zarah.
That obviously said everything before the shiloh bedakta.
Where do we know that from? We have to learn that from someplace. We're in the middle of learning it now, because it says Zeveach lo Elikim Yochram. So far, Ainli Elav Zeveach, fine. Yochram means you should be destroyed, meaning killed. Okay, Ainli Elav Zeveach, fine. Based on that pasuk, then you know if somebody shechts a korban to an avodah zarah, that he's chayav misa, regardless of which avodah zarah, because the pasuk is not specifying. Mekater Menasech Minayin. How do we know the same thing applies if somebody burns something for the avodah zarah, or somebody pours a libation, or as we just said, sprinkles blood in honor of the avodah zarah? How do we know the same din would apply? Tamad Loima. Therefore, the pasuk continues, Bilti LaHashem Levadei, only for Hashem alone, meaning Rikin HaAvodas Kulam LaShem HaMiyuchad. Meaning the Torah is, by saying the word Bilti LaHashem Levadei, Rikin, it's emptying out. It's saying any avodah. That any avodah is to be done only l'shem hamiyuchad, is only to be done for the unique name of Hashem. Meaning avodas of korbanos, avodas that are parts of the avodah of a korban, including therefore burning things on the mizbeach and sprinkling or pouring, are all reserved only l'shem hamiyuchad. Are reserved only for Hashem. They're not to be done to any other.
Anything else.
So therefore we see then. So when the pasuk is saying zeveach means not only zeveach, means. It's the continuation, the same pasuk. Zeveach lo Elikim Yochram, Bilti LaHashem Levadai. So far you have Zeveach, it says explicitly in the pasuk. Then it says Bilti LaHashem Levadai, meaning the same thing applies to any avodah which is part of a korban, which is reserved for Hashem, is taken away that it cannot be done to an avodah zarah. Therefore now we know nisuch and therefore now we know kittur and nisuch, burning and pouring, because those are things that are done in the Beis Hamikdash for Hashem. Now, let's continue. Now, given that you have, now let's consider. So we have Zvicha, offering a korban is set aside, it's distinguished in the pasuk. The pasuk, after all, on the face of it, did not have to say Zeveach. It could have just said Bilti LaHashem Levadai. Yeah. So therefore, we mean any avodah which is done for Hashem is not to be done for avodah zarah. So Zvicha now is taken out of the category. It's mentioned separately. So we have, in other words, an example. Dover Shahoy Bakhlal, the Yotim in a Klal Lamed, is in the Klal and it comes out of the Klal, it's meant to teach us something. Loyal Lamed al Asma Yotza, it doesn't just teach us about itself, El Lamed al Klal Kula Yotza, it teaches us about the whole Klal. So therefore, Lefisha Yotza Zvicha Lidin Ba'avodas Ponim. So since we have Zvicha is set aside, is distinguished in the positive, that it is something. It's something mentioned separately among all the other avodas that are done within the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, so that tells us. So that would tell us so far that any avoda that's done in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what we're going to talk about. Ishtachavah is the next thing. Tosfos points out, by the way, that we still need, so we actually need two things. We need the word bilti l'ashem avadei, and we need the word zeveach. Because if not for the word bilti l'ashem avadei, if it only said zeveach l'elikim yachram, you would say, fine, anything that has to do with blood, maybe, is not allowed to be done for an avodah zarah and a person is chayav mitzvah for it. We wouldn't know, for example, makater, where you're burning fat, or what have you, you wouldn't know Manasseh if we were pouring wine, therefore you need bilti l'ashem levado.
Sure, you need bilti l'ashem levado, but mezaveach, it's not clear why you need it. Anything that's not to Hashem could be considered over the Zara.
So that's the thing. So Tosfos's point is, well, the Gemara is going to continue now that we're going to use Zvicha as a base, we're going to use that to say that it also includes, we're going to also bring in Hishtachavah. We're going to say that Hishtachavah is also included on the basis of another limud that we're going to say in a second, that we need Zvicha for it. But you're right, Marsha talks about that why it needs to mention Zvicha. So what does he say? So he says because what did he say? You would think the fact is we have things in the Mishnah, for example, we talked about hugging, kissing, etc. If you didn't have the word zeveach, you would think anything. You would think, for example, hugging and kissing would also be chayav mitzvah. Therefore we need zeveach to say when we say built it, no, it's not, we said in the Mishnah. It's not even chayav mitzvah, it's not even chayav malchus, we said. So therefore, the vote is, if you didn't say zeveach, you would think anything that could be done in honor of Hashem. So for example, you sweep the floor of the Beis Mikdash or whatever, you sweep a shul or whatever, maybe should be chayav mitzvah. Therefore, we need zeveach to teach us that it's only the kind of things that are done uniquely for Hashem only in the Beis Mikdash.
What did we exclude hugging and kissing?
We said in the Mishnah, Magafa, Famanashet, Ramachabed, etc., is over Beloitzah. We said it's around Beloitzah, it's not chayav mitzvah. Unless it's Kedar, of course.
So it is considered Avodah Zarah, but it's not Chayav Mitzvah.
But it's not Chayav Mitzvah. We're trying to figure out over here what's Chayav Mitzvah. What's under the category of Yochalam? So we need Zeveach to teach us that it's only Avodah Pnim, only things that are done exclusively in the Beis Mikdash. On the other hand, we need Bilti L'Hashem Levadeh to tell, like Tosfos says, to tell us it's not only things that involve blood, like Zeveach does, it also has to include other kinds of things as well, such as Keter burning and Menasseh pouring. Okay. So, now, where do we know to also include then ishtachavah? Where do we know to also include bowing, which is not something done uniquely in the Beis Mikdash? Talmud Lomar, therefore you have a different pasuk in Parshas Shoftim. Vayelech vayaved elokim acherim vayishtachu lahem. The pasuk describes the person who went and worshipped other gods and bowed to them. The next pasuk continues, you should take out that man or that woman and execute them. So we see that a person bows to an avodah zarah, then they're also chayav skila. Okay. Fine. So far, then we have. So we're learning hishtachavah in a different way.
We said zeveach, you could have sought only things that are.
Now that we have hishtachavah, then hishtachavah is an exception. The four avodas, three of them are things that are like zeveach, that they take place only in the Beis Mikdash. And the fourth one, ishtachavah, we have a different pasuk that teaches us that. Okay. Oinah shamayinu, fine. That teaches us now, so far we have, the Torah tells us that there's a punishment if somebody bows to a getchke. Azhara minayin, where does the Torah warn us not to do it? We have a general concept, like onash elim kin hizir, the Torah can't punish you unless there's a warning someplace else not to do it. The Chinuch, by the way, says an interesting idea on it. Why, Taka, you would think, once there's a punishment, obviously it means you can't do it. He says, because the person might think, okay, it's a trade-off, fine. I can do it if I want. The Torah is just saying, if I'm going to do it, there's going to be a punishment. So you need to actually be told, specifically, you're not allowed to do it. And if you do, then yeah.
So then the consequence is not such a consequence.
Yeah. So, Azhara Minayin, and where do we have, the Chinuch says that. So, Azhara Minayin. You would think, maybe it may, okay.
Logically.
Yeah. Okay. Talmud Loimer, ki lois ishtachva lekeilacha. You have a different pasuk in Kitzisa that says you should not bow to another god. So there you go. Yochol shani mar b'hamugafet b'manashik b'manil. So now you would think maybe you should also include hugging and kissing and putting shoes on, which we said in the Mishnah are not chayiv misa and not even, and it's going to say on the face of it, yeah. Right. Therefore, after all, we have Zeveach singled out, meaning Zvicha b'chlal ha'isa. Zvicha, after all, was in the same category as the other avodas p'nim, the other avodas that are done in the Beit Mikdash. V'lama yotza, so why was it excluded? Why was it singled out? L'hakesh eleo, to make a hekesh with it. V'loy malach. They tell you, ma'zvicha miyuchedes, she avodas p'nim. What is unique about Zvicha is it's something done only inside the Beit Mikdash. And a person is chayv misa for doing it to a getchka. Af kolshi avodas pnim b'chayovin aleihem misa. So it has to be anything else that's done as an avoda in the Beis Mikdash, and you chayv misa. Then you chayv misa.
Excluding therefore
hugging and kissing and putting shoes on, etc. On the other hand, so therefore, what we come out in the end, yotze hishtachavol lidin ba'atma. So we have two avodas that are singled out, various psukim. We have zricha and we have hishtachavol. Hishtachavol is singled out not to learn from it for the klal, but only to learn for it itself, to tell us that hishtachavol is also, which otherwise we wouldn't have done. So hishtachavol is singled out lidin
Therefore, we
need a pasuk specifically to tell us that it is also, and it's chayav misa, because otherwise we wouldn't have known it at all. But it's not teaching us a general rule. We don't learn from Ishtachava, Binyan Av, a general rule from it, that it should apply to any other avodas chutz. We don't do that. Ishtachava is there only to teach us that it itself is, that it itself is chayav skila. Yotza Zvicha, Lidun ala Klal Kulei, where Zvicha is singled out to teach us that it applies to the whole Klal. That it's not only Zvicha, but also Kitur and also Nisuch, which are Avodas Pnim. Okay. Fine. Thus far the Braisa. Now let's start.
No argument about this?
No.
Everybody agrees to that.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we're going to have the little details over there, but basically what we said. Yeah. Okay. So we said in the Braisa that if the Pasuk had said Zeveach Yochram without using the word Elikim, then you would think it applies to Shechet and Korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash. And what do you mean? Kodshim Bachot Koritu. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Achrim, most person is Chayav Koritz for it. Why would we think that in Parshas Mishpatim the Torah is telling us Mitzvah Beis Din? Exactly.
Koritz no Misa.
Exactly. Right. The answer, well, it's not Mitzvah Beis Din, that's the point, yeah.
It's not Mitzvah Beis Din.
Yeah, that's the point. The answer is Sakadai Dachamina, because if it weren't for, if the Pasuk had not used the word Elikim, then you would have thought like this. Ki Asru Beik Tala, you would think that the Torah is telling us there's two possible punishments. If they give a person Asra for Shechting a Korban outside the Mitzvah, then he's Chayav Mitzvah. Kila Asru Beik Karas, and if they didn't give him Asra, then it would be Karas. Similar to Chil Shabbos and a number of other Mitzvahs where you have a similar concept of a Dizarda for that matter. Also.
That's not the case.
Yeah. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush, that there's never any Mitzvah based in involved in Shchut Echut, in Shechet and Karbonos for Hashem, that is, outside of this Mitzvah. The maximum penalty is Karis. Asura or not. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Karis Pidush
Shemayim.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so now we said it, fine. We set at the end of the Braisa, the last thing we said in the Braisa is that we have two avodas that are singled out in the Pasuk, Ishtachava and Zvicha, and we said Ishtachava is not meant to establish a general category, it's in a category of its own, as opposed to Zvicha is meant to establish a category which includes also Makater and Manasseh. So the question is why? Why shouldn't it be the other way around? Why shouldn't we say Shtachavah makes a category of any avodas chutz, so therefore it will include hugging and kissing and sweeping and so on and so forth, and Zvicha is not meant to make a category, or maybe both of them are meant to make categories or whatever, yeah. Why don't you say that Ishtachavah is also establishing a category of things that are not done only exclusively in the Beis Mikdash, and a person is chayav skila for, and therefore you would say, therefore, that it would include hugging and kissing and so forth, anything that's done as a covered for the idol, just like Ishtachavah. V'chi tema zeveach lomali legufei, and then you would argue that what's zeveach for in that case? You would say, fine, zeveach is meant as a thing of its own. It's not meant to establish a category.
It has to be, because if you say zeveach is only in the Beis Hamikdash, then...
But how do we know? No, but then the point is, then maybe, again, maybe you should say hishtachava means, therefore, not just hishtachava, but also hugging and kissing. Zeveach means only zeveach. No other avodas pnim is chayav skila.
V'chi tema zeveach lomalei legufei.
So what is zeveach coming for? Legufei, you would say that it's coming to teach us a din about the shechting itself. Not even. No. Okay, so what we'd say, like, that's what we're going to say. Hishtachavah would teach us any avodah that's done as covered for an avodah zarah is chayv skila. So therefore, that would include zvicha, it would include hishtachavah, it would include kittur, it would include mitzvah. Sorry, I said it wrong before. If we let's assume, why shouldn't we assume that hishtachavah is meant to establish a category? Any, just like hishtachavah is done in honor of an idol, or lahavdo in honor of Hashem, therefore anything that's done in honor of an idol is chayv skila. So it'll include shechet and korban. So what we'll use zebeach for a different din. That's what we're going to say. V'chi tema zebeach lamali. So then you would argue, what do we need zebeach for? You would say legufe. You would use it to teach a particular din within zebeach itself, namely the din de mechashmen me'avoda la'avoda. You would use that to teach us the concept that machshava from one avoda to another has significance. No.
Practical.
But the machshava that the person has. Namely, listen, the Ishmael. We have a discussion that goes like this. Now, you have a concept when it comes to Korbanos in the Beis Mikdash. You have a concept in connection with the Halachos of Pigul. You have a concept called Mechashvin Me'avodah La'avodah, at least according to some opinions. That you could, now, we know there's four basic avodas in any Korban. There's shechting it, there's catching the blood in a basin, walking it over to the Mizbeach, and sprinkling it on the Mizbeach. Those are the four basic avodas of any Korban. And the din is, we know that if the Kohen thinks, or it's actually Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether he has to think, whether he has to actually speak it, or whether it's enough that he thinks it, that he's going to do these things chutzlus manan, that he's going to, for example, sprinkle the blood of the korban the next day or whatever. Then the korban becomes pigul and you chayv karis for eating it. Now, what happens, for example, let's say the person might, for example, shech the korban, having the korban itself. When he shechs, he's thinking, I'm going to do the shechita now. But he's thinking, what I plan to do later on with the blood is I plan to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach tomorrow. Or I plan to sprinkle it outside the Beis Mikdash, which is not pigul, but a repulsal. That's called mechashvin me'avodah la'avodah. While you're doing one avodah, you're thinking about what you're going to do with another avodah. Machshava that makes a repulsal. Do we say the same thing by avodah zarah? If somebody shechts an animal, the shechita itself he's not having in mind to be in honor of the idol, but he's thinking that he plans to sprinkle the blood in honor of the idol or to burn the fat in honor of the idol. What's the din? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur of Rish Lakish Amar Moteres. Rabbi Yochanan says the animal is also b'hanah, even though the shechita was not done for Avodas Kechavim, and even if he never actually ended up sprinkling the blood for Avodas Zarah.
You're taking from Zaveah.
One second, that's the way you have to figure out. That's the way you have to figure out, right? So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan would say, even if you never actually ended up sprinkling the blood for the Getchke at all, the very fact that you had such a thought during shechita is enough to make it Tekrevis Avodas Zarah, it's enough to make it an animal that was shechted in honor of a Getchke, and therefore it becomes also b'hanah.
Right.
Because again, it's similar to pigul. British law, Kushama Moteris.
Because
he say that Machashmi Navoid Lava. Wait, forget about Zigayah. They're saying it as an independent din. We're going to say that hypothetically we could think maybe we learn that din from the word Zigayah. Before we said that not. The Braisa told us that not. The Zigayah teaches us also Nisu and also Kitu. Rava Bar of Chonan is asking, why don't we say instead that we use Zigayah to learn this din that we're talking about now? That's the question.
Not instead, also.
Yeah. No, it's one or the other.
Why?
Because if you learn from Hishtachavah, then you learn any avodah of Kabbalah.
The din of Machshava, you could take it from Zaveach.
That's what we're asking. Maybe we use the word Zaveach exclusively for that. But Rish Lakish Amar Muteres, whereas Rish Lakish says it's Mutter, because he says, fine, I agree when it comes to Pigul, I agree when it comes to Korbanos, there's Mechashvin Avodah La'avodah, that you can have a thought of Zrika that takes place during Shechita that's going to make the Korban possible or Pigul, but that doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah, Rish Lakish says. Because he says you don't learn one from the other. Tosfos says over here, it does mean, though, the animal would still be also to eat, because the guy, having had this authority, now becomes a mumul avodas kechavim. His shchita is possible. So therefore, the animal is taka nevela, it's also to eat. But it's not also b'hanna, is the point. As opposed to a point of Rabbi Yechanan, it would be to krevet avodas zarah, it would be also b'hanna, because it's a sacrifice to a getchke. Rashi, in Zvachim, where this point is also discussed over there, says maybe not, maybe it means even mutter b'achila, because at the time when he's shechting, he's not yet a mumur.
That thing could apply today.
I suppose.
And he wanted
Machshava
to.
Well, it only applies to the per, it only applies to the per, it only applies to the person who's actually shechting the animal. If you are shechting an animal, if a yid is the Gemara actually discussed the case in Cholin where the Gemara discusses in this connection in Cholin, a case where you had some Arabs over there who owned animals that they wanted Jews to shecht for them, and the Arabs had in mind that afterwards they're going to offer parts of the animal to their idol. Question is, does the part that the yid gets out of the meat, is that mutter to eat? And the halacha is that, yes, because the goy thought, because the yid who's shechting did it, the fact that the goy, the owner of the animal, has something in mind, yes, exactly. So, hanicha l'Rav Yehuda. Fine. So again, when we say that hypothetically, could we use the word zeveach to learn this din? We could say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is we wouldn't need it, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't need the word zeveach. He can learn it from pigul. He says that just like the same rule that applies to pigul applies to tekrevus avodah zarah. So according to him, you have no question that you could use the word zeveach for that din. He doesn't need the word zeveach. Therefore, according to him, we can understand why the Braisa is telling us instead we need the word zeveach to add mekater and menasseh. Elul Shlokish.
That goes according to Rabbi.
According to Rabbi Yechon. Elul Rabbi Shlokish Boikra. But according to Rabbi Shlokish, on the face of it, if he wants to say that you're not going to learn Avodah Zarah from people, you need a pasuk to say that there's a difference. What would that pasuk be? Presumably Zedeah. So why don't we assume that Ishtachava creates a general category? Anything that's done will cover the Avodah Zarah makes a person chayav tefila, including hugging and kissing and so forth. And Zedeah is teaching us the particular din in this case about Mechashman, about a Mechashman, Avodah Zarah. According to him, that's what we're asking. According to Rabbi Shlokish. So before the Gemara gets to the answer, as Jews often do, you answer a question with another question. Maski for a papa. So the papa asks on the premise of the question. So what's the premise of your question? You're asking only according to the Shlokish. Shouldn't you have to ask the question according to Rabbi Yochanan as well? Ad kan like also Rabbi Yochanan ela behema. Because after all, what is Rabbi Yochanan saying in that case? He's saying the behema is also behema. Fine. Maybe according to Rabbi Yochanan, you still wouldn't say the person is chayv misa for worshiping Avodah Zarah. But also krolach, you have a gavra l'ktala. So therefore, we would need the word zeveach to teach us. Not only is the animal also b'hana, it's the krovus Avodah Zarah, but the guy is also chayv skila. Maybe yes. So in that case, why are you only asking that how Rish Lakish would and why what we could do?
We should ask according to
Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. Mask for Rav Acha Breder of Ikka. On the other hand, Rav Acha Breder of Ikka attacks that question and says, "Fakert, I'll answer your question." Olu Rish Lakish mi boikra. Fakert, you Rav Baruch Hanan, who started the whole discussion, and you thought according to Rish Lakish, maybe you could use the word zeveach for his din. Would you even need the pasuk for him? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't need it for Rish Lakish's version of the din. You certainly wouldn't need it for Rabbi Yochanan. The opposite of what Rav Papa just said.
Right.
Namely, ad kan l'kashori Rish Lakish ela behema, because we can say that Rish Lakish fine is saying the behema is mutter, b'hanar or b'achila as the case may be, avo gavra b'akshalo. But adarabi, you could argue even Rish Lakish would surely agree the person is chayiv misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah. How could you potentially have the guy should be chayiv misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah, but the animal shouldn't be considered tikroivus? How is it? You could have midi dehaba mishtachva lahar, because it's no different, for example, than you have the case if somebody worships a mountain. Dehar mutter, the mountain remains mutter, because you have a concept, we've learned it before, we're going to learn it again in Avodah Zarah, al hahorim elekehem, that the goyim in Eretz Yisrael had their idols on the mountains, implying that the mountains themselves do not become osur as Avodah Zarah. So a guy worships a mountain, it doesn't become osur, and yet, but a goy who worships it is so chayiv heret. The point still remains, though, that you do have, you can see, in other words, that you can have just because the guy is chayiv misa doesn't necessarily mean, so therefore, fine, that Rashi explains the vortex like this, shchitat tzorech zrikas, you can't sprinkle the blood of the animal without shechting it first. Therefore, when he shechts, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle it for the Avodah Zarah, fine, that can be considered, the shchita itself is already being done for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, though, he didn't do the shchita itself for Avodah Zarah, and the sprinkling of the blood never took place. So therefore, not necessarily, according to the Shlokas, should the animal be also b'hana as to create the Avodah Zarah.
Sprinkling didn't take place?
Yes. It doesn't have to be, according to, yeah. But the guy will be chayiv misa, because when he shechted, he was doing a prerequisite that is necessary for the zrika to take place. You can't have zrika without shchita. So therefore, so according to, so if we take that logic, so if we take that logic, it means that yes, neither Rabbi Yochanan nor Rish Lakish need the word Zeveach, because they both will agree the guy is Chayev Mitzah. So therefore, you don't need the word Zeveach to teach us he's Chayev Mitzah.
He would be Chayev Mitzah according to Rabbi Yochanan.
According to both of them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, surely, because if the thing is also, obviously the guy was worshipping over the God. Even according to Rish Lakish, he's Chayev Mitzah because he did a prerequisite for Zrika, L'shem Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, he never actually did the Zrika, and the Shchita itself was not done L'shem Avodah Zarah, and therefore the animal itself would not be Osir. That's the Karevis.
And the guy would be asking, what did we say before the Resh Lakish?
So that's because we were arguing back and forth. Rapapa took exactly the opposite view. Rapapa took the view that just because the animal is Osir doesn't mean the guy is Chayav Mitzah. Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika is taking exactly the opposite view. The guy is truly Chayav Mitzah. The question is on the animal. Anyway, the point is, if we take it according to that way, then it means neither Rabbi Yochanan nor Rish Lakish need the word Zeveach. Therefore, we can go back to what the Braita said, that the word Zeveach must be there to teach us that Zeveach is establishing a category. And therefore, Ishtachavah can't be establishing a category, because the category that includes Ishtachavah would be much broader than the category that includes Zeveach.
Either one or the other.
Okay. Rav Acha Okay, so now Rav Acha Medifti asks Ravina. Let's go back to Rav Barav Chanan's initial question. His initial assumption. This that Rav Barav Chanan is asking Abaya, that he's saying hypothetically, maybe you could say that Ishtachavah is creating a general category. Anything that somebody does in honor of an Avodah Zarah, it makes him Chayav Mitzah, makes a broad category, which would include hugging and kissing and so forth. Then you have to ask, according to him, now you have another pasuk in Parashat Re'e that says you should not pentidurish lelekehem. You must not inquire after their gods, after the rituals of their gods, saying eicha yavdu. How do these goyim worship their idols? And I will do the same. From that pasuk, we learn the concept that of kedarka. That if an avoda is if a certain kind of avoda is the usual way of worshiping a certain getchka, then you chayav nisa for that also.
Why you ask about
it? Right. In other words, the pasuk is saying you might think to ask, how do people worship Ur? You'll find out they go to the bathroom in front of it, and then you'll say, Ve'etha Kain Gamani, I'm going to do that also. And the pasuk says, don't do that. So the question is like this. If Rabbi Baruch Chanan is asking that Hishtachavah should establish a broad category, anything you're doing in honor of an idol makes you Chayav Mitzah, then automatically that includes the normal avodas that are, let's say you have an idol where the normal way of worshiping it is hugging it. Automatically that would be included. Why do you need the pasuk Eicha Yavdu at all? The chitei
after you would need to tell you that anything other than the normal way is not.
No, but that's the question. Hishtachavah would mean normal or not. Anything that's done would cover the avodah zarah.
Then you don't need that question.
That's the question. What is Rav Barav Chanan thinking to ask that Hishtachavah should establish a broad category if the category that could be included in Hishtachavah would also include anything that's included in Eicha Yavdu? So what would you need the pasuk Eicha Yavdu for? So you're gonna say, okay, maybe the pasuk wants to tell us that if it's shaloi kedarka and it's something which is bizoyin for something which normally is worshipped by sacrifice. So let's say not par. Let's say, for example, another avodah zarah, which is not normally worshipped by going to the bathroom in front of it. It's normally worshipped by bringing karbanos there. Let's say then a person. So you would say Eicha Yavdu is teaching us that if a person were to go to the bathroom in front of such an avodah zarah, he wouldn't be chayav because that's not covered. That's bizoyah. The question is, you don't need that. Mishtachavah not, but you could still learn it from the category that includes the shtachavah. My shtachavah derech kibud. That's called derech kibud. It would mean that hashtachavah would include anything that's honoring the avodah zarah, not therefore going to the bathroom in front of it, which is a bizoyah. Ella, no, we can answer the ma'uti apur. So therefore, you still have the question: what is Rav Barav Chanan thinking that Hishtachavah should establish a category? When what is Eicha Yavdu coming to tell us? Coming to exclude that? It can't be excluding something which inherently is a bizoyan, because you wouldn't think to include that from Hishtachavah anyway. You would say Hishtachavah includes anything that's done in honor of the getchka.
Eicha Yavdu can mean any way it's done.
But that's the question. Any way of worshipping an avodah zarah is the way that the people who worship it honor it. People who pour your asma the par, they're doing it in order to honor the getchka. They're not doing it in order to be mivazit. So the Braisa told us that Hishtachavah stands alone. You don't learn anything else from it. But Rav Baruch Hanan is asking that you should learn something from it. Meaning anything that's becoming, anything that's a covered to the Avodah Zarah should be altered. Well, then what is Eichayavu doing for us? Is it telling us that if you're Mivazav Avodah Zarah, you're not Chayav? Well, of course. Then you wouldn't think to include that Mishtachavah anyway. No, rather, you can answer, according to Rav Baruch Hanan's type hypothesis, you could say he would understand the Eicha Yavdu to be excluding the case somebody goes to the bathroom in front of Merkulis, which we said in the Mishnah. Merkulis is not worshipped by going to the bathroom, it's worshipped by throwing stones at it, which is also a bazillion, just a different kind of bazillion. If it weren't for the Pasuk Eicha Yavdu, you might have thought, since after all, the normal way Kedarka of Merkulis is also a Bizoyan, throwing rocks at it.
Well, I don't understand it.
Okay. One second. Ah, called Bizoyan. You would think, therefore, maybe any kind of Avodah, any kind of Avodah of Bizoyan for it would also be Chayev. Kamash Malon, that would be what Eicha Yavdu would be teaching us, that no, the Bizoyan, that's Kedarka, you're Chayev, because Eicha Yavdu. Any other bizoyan is not included on the basis of that you would learn from Mishtachavah. Again, in the end, we're not learning from Mishtachavah, but we're talking according to Rav Baruch Hanan's hypothesis that you would. Yeah. So the question is, Ela Hadam Rav Eliezer, Rav Eliezer actually.
Here we conclude that.
Well, so we in other words, we still haven't found reason to reject what Rav Baruch Hanan is saying. I mean, the fact is we do, because the Braisa said not like him, but we're just trying to figure out what was Rav Baruch Hanan thinking when he brought up this point to Abayah. How would he understand? So what about Elohada Amar Rabbi Elazar? What about, though, this that we find that Rabbi Elazar said, Minayim lezaveach behemel amokal l'shul chayev? How do we know if somebody offers, if somebody shech an animal in honor of Merkulis, that he's chayev? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, a different Pasuk, V'loy yizbuchu oydas divchayev masairim. The Pasuk says, also in Parshas Achrimos, that the Jewish people should no longer offer their sacrifices to the demons. Demons meaning Avodah Zarah in general. Now, you don't need that pasuk to teach us that if the normal way of worshipping a particular Avodah Zarah is with sacrifices, that it would be also. You don't need that, because Dichtiv Eicha Yavdu, because you have the pasuk Eicha Yavdu teaches us that. Tineu Inyan L'Shaloi Kedarka. You can use that pasuk to teach us, even if this particular Getchka is not normally worshipped with sacrifices, but a person would have sacrificed, said he would be chayim. Or not chayim, but he were not talking about chayim, he were talking about the fact that it's also, the loy yizbuchu, that they're not allowed to. So the question is, Shaloi Kedaka Mishtachavah Nafka. According to Rav Baruch Hanan's understanding, shouldn't you be able to learn that from Mishtachavah? Again, you have to ask, how would Rav Baruch Hanan understand what Rav Elazar is saying? According to him, why do we need the Pasuk V'lo Yizbuchoi Desivchayim Aserim? He would already be able to learn that. Anything that's done will cover the Avodah Zarah is learned from Mishtachavah, he wants to say. Automatically, that would include Zvicha. So therefore, you don't need V'lo Yizbuchoi. The answer is, the answer is that you could answer, let's say, for example, you're shechting the korban for the Avodah Zarah, lahachis. So what does lahachis mean? Lahachis means to anger.
Right.
Rashi understands that it means to anger the Eivishter. In other words, you're not doing it, you're not shechting the korban for Merkulis because you really believe that Merkulis is a god. You're shechting it because you want to make the Eivishter angry. So you're not makabli olav velika. If it weren't for hishtachavah, you would think that maybe you're cutter for it. Fine, the law used before it is the chayim asir. I'm not talking about when you think that the story is a god. Hishtachavah, you would say that not. And that's how Rav Baruch Hanan could explain it. Some of the other Rishonim say that lahachis might actually mean to anger the getchke. Meaning, in other words, you have Merkulis, for example, where everybody knows the normal way of worshipping Merkulis is to throw rocks at it. And you decide, I'm davka going to race on this Avodah Zarah. I'm davka going to make him angry and worship it in an unusual way by shechting a korban in front of him.
It
was still called Avodah Zarah, that's the point. So Rav Baruch Hanan could have understood it that way. Again, Lamaisa, we don't go like him because of the Braisa, but at least he could have understood it that way. So his question to Abaya had merit.
There was no other way of understanding that whichever way you worship this god, you would be higher.
That's what we're saying. According to Rav Baruch Hanan's hypothesis, we would say as follows. Hishtachavah teaches us anything that's done will cover the Avodah Zarah, Yuchayev Misa. Zaveach, Lelekim Yachram, is teaching us the specific topic that the person is Chayev Misa, Mechashvan Avoda Lavoda, even if the animal itself is Mutabahana. Eicha Yavru teaches us that even that if you have a particular Avodah Zarah that's worshipped using one Bizoyan, like throwing rocks, and you did a different Bizoyan to it, you would be Potter. And Velo Yizbechoy, Desdivchayim, would teach us that even if you're doing it Lachachis, you're still Chayev. because it's an avodah that inherently is covered, even if you particularly are doing it for the reason lahachis rather than as covered for the yetchka. So that's how Rav Bar Yochanan would have understood. Continues the Gemara. Rav Hamnuna irkus delay toru. One time Rav Hamnuna lost some oxen and he was going around looking for them. Poga be Rava. Rava met up with him as he was wandering around. Ramalei masnis in ahadodi. And he pointed out a contradiction between two mishnayos to him. By the way, Meforshim say, why are we mentioning the circumstances? The point is, even though Rav Hamnuna is looking around for his oxen, he's tortured, he's busy with that, he still took time for learning Torah, even his mind is like on his oxen. Yes, exactly. But nevertheless, he's still focused on Torah. Yes.
So one of them is both together.
The fact that the Gemara is telling us means the Nesinus Koyach that we can do that also. That we can also, when we're involved with our business, you have the famous story of the Chosid of the Alter Rebbe, or I think of the Alter Rebbe, whatever, one of the Rebbeim who totals up the figures in his column and in his account book and writes at the bottom Einoid Milavato. But if it's a story is told to us. I mean, and then one of the other chassidim asked him, "What kind of baklan are you?" You know, and the guy says, "Listen, if you're doing davening, you can have machshavas zoros about your business. Then doing business, I can have machshavas zoros about the eved." Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what's the contradiction in the Mishnah? Tnan, our Mishnah had said ha'oved avodas kochavim. Our Mishnah had started by saying if somebody worships the avodas zora, implying oved ein omer loy, only if he actually worships it, not if he just says I'm going to worship it. But later on in our parak, when we talk about the dinim of mesis, we learn in the Mishnah, if somebody says, I will worship, or elach ve'evod, or I will go and worship, or neilach ve'navod, or we will go and worship, then it's chayav misa. So what is it? Is it enough to say it, or do you actually have to do it? Over there, it's talking about a mesis, and by the way, in connection with in this whole sugya over here, we're going to, as we go through the sugya, and we'll do some of it today and some of it tomorrow, but the various Rishonim discuss the question, are we talking about the punishment for the mesis or the punishment for the musas if he accepts it? Are we talking about the mesis trying to convince the other guy by saying, let's go worship the Avodah Zarah, that for that alone he becomes Chayav Misa? Or are we talking about the musas accepting and saying, yes, let's go worship it?
I think we said that already.
And we had that concept briefly. We're going to discuss it later on, but we're going to discuss it later on in connection with that Mishnah in a few days. But anyway, yeah. Okay. So, Omalei, so Rabbah answers him, but any makabla olai el avoda. Fine, you could answer that our Mishnah is talking about where the person says, I don't plan to accept it as my God now. I'm only going to do that once I worship it. So as long as he didn't worship, then he didn't accept the avodah zarah. So therefore you can't be mechayev and mitzvah for that. Whereas that Mishnah is talking about a case where he just says, Eloch the Eved, I'm going to go and worship, without saying that's enough, even because he didn't explicitly say, it's not a steer, that's the point. In our Mishnah, we'd be talking about he's saying, I intend to accept this thing as a god, but at what point am I going to accept that it's my god when I actually go and shech the korban for it or whatever? So at that point, so now when he just said, I'm going to, that doesn't make him chayav mitzvah. As opposed to over there, he didn't make any such stipulation. He just said, I'm going to worship. That alone makes him chayav mitzvah.
Because it could be not.
Because he didn't say anything about it. We're explaining our Mishnah to be saying that he's saying that I will eventually accept this as my God. But I'm going to wait with that until I actually have a chance to go there and shech the korban in its office. So he only becomes chayav mitzvah when he actually goes and shech the korban. As opposed to that Mishnah, we're talking about there's no such stipulation. He just says, I'm going to worship this, I'm going to go worship this idol. So by saying that already, he becomes chayav mitzvah. That's how Rabbi is explaining it.
It could mean any time.
However, Rav Yosef says, Tanoi shaklet me'alma. Would you take all the Tanoim out of the world? So what do you think? You can't find that there's a machlokas Tanoim on the subject? Tanoihi. It's actually a machlokas Tanoim. Whether saying I will worship is enough to be machayev you or not. The Tanya, as we learn in a brisa, if one person says to some other people, come and worship me, Rav Meir machayev, Rav Yehuda poter. Rav Meir says he's chayev, and Rav Yehuda says he's poter. So the Gemara points out, hey, the Polchu, if they actually worship him, kulam le'pligi, then everybody agrees, of course he's chayev. Dichtiv le'sach le'chotasa. So the Polchu says, don't make yourself a god. It means also, don't make yourself into a god. He's pligi b'dibur ba'alma. The machloikas has to be about just the speech. Rav Meir Sava Dibura Milti. Rav Meir told that just the speaking, saying worship me, is enough to be significant. But Rav Yehuda Sava Dibura Lav Milti. Whereas Rav Yehuda says that speaking doesn't necessarily mean anything. So it might be Hoyeker, yeah. So actually, we'll talk about more tomorrow. We'll talk about more tomorrow, but yeah, none of us. We'll talk more tomorrow about the Shem, but one interesting thing that Ram points out is that the reason why we might say Dibur, I mean, a Mesis is also Dibur. The difference is, until somebody worships him, there's no chapter of an Avodah Zarah. That's the point. That's why Rabbi Yehuda can be saying Dibur Olav Milti, because it's not a normal case of a Mesis. A person says, I'm Mesis you, you should go worship Baal. Fine. Baal exists already in the world, but the people already worship it. But nobody's worshiping this guy until somebody actually listens to him. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda can say the speech doesn't count correctly.
Dibur Milti.
Yeah.